Well, good morning. I'm calling to order this meeting of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Division. We will start by having the clerk take the roll.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Present.
Representative Katizawatun, Vice Chair.
Present.
Representative Franson. Representative Bonner. Representative Damuth. Representative Heinzman. Representative Morrison.
Present.
Representative Pryor.
Present.
Representative Wasilick.
Present.
Representative West.
So we do not yet have a quorum. We're just one short. So we have several minutes to approve, which we'll do once we do have a quorum. Members, the bill before us today, that will be before us today, is House File 1238. And I think that Representative Pryor will get going on that. And then start the conversation. I know that you have an amendment which we can address once we have a quorum. So I'll ask you to head up to the testifiers table. And as you do, I'll note, members, that legislative leaders had directed us early in session to identify provisions in the so-called Omnibus Prime bill, this very large 1,000-page bill that passed the House and Senate last spring but then was vetoed by the governor. And so House File 1238 contains some provisions from that bill. We're supposed to identify non-controversial provisions to see if we can move them on through. It was my understanding earlier that there was no cost associated with this provision. This has to do with federal conformity for CCAP, the Child Care Assistance Program. I found out more recently it sounds like that there is a cost associated with this. And so my plan is to simply lay this over as part of an HHS division report, as opposed to moving it forward, since there is a cost associated with it, and it sounds like we're not sure of the cost quite yet. So just so folks understand what the thinking is here. So with that, Representative Pryor, we will have you move House File 1238 to put it before the committee. Okay. Well, no, we can make the motion, though. We just can't take action on it, I believe. Am I correct to research staff? Yes, I'm seeing some nods. Okay, good. So we can at least have the bill before the committee. We just can't vote on it until we get a quorum. So that is your motion, correct, Representative Pryor?
Yes, that is my motion, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And I think, Representative Pryor, we're going to start by having House Research walk through House File 1238, give us a little bit of background, and then it sounds like you may have a few other folks to describe it as well.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And with that, Mr. Berg, it sounds like you may be the one who's describing this, or Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, I can do it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, you have a summary in your packet, and I'll work broadly off of that. It's a relatively straightforward bill. The first section defines what homeless means in the statute. The second section makes some changes to the eligibility for transition year, which is part of the MFIP transition year child care program. The third section makes changes to the administrative changes to the application process. The fourth section makes changes to the portability pool, which is involved when grantees go from one county to another county, or one jurisdiction to another jurisdiction. And the fifth section makes it clear that persons who are homeless are eligible for a basic amount of aid and provides for them to be eligible for additional at the discretion of an officer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Berg. And then Representative Pryor, do you have someone, or do you want to describe, or do you have someone who can give us a little more context about the bill and the purpose for it and what it does, et cetera?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will have testifiers that will also be here to support the effort and make sure that the committee has all of the information that they need to act on the bill. And I think it'd be fine if they came up now.
Hey, absolutely. Please.
Thank you.
And please introduce yourself for the record, identify your name, and then please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Renal Ray. I'm the Associate Executive Director at People Serving People.
And would you mind spelling your name?
R-I-N-A-L, last name Ray, R-A-Y.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right.
Sounds like you're going to be telling us a little more about the bill.
I will be. Mr. Chair, members, at People Serving People, we're dedicated to preventing child, youth, and family homelessness. We work with families in the midst of their experience of homelessness and are moving upstream into the prevention of family homelessness through both program and public policy. As an organization, thank you, Representative Pryor and other bill co-authors, for your commitment to improving the child care assistance program so that it works better for families and providers alike. We also want to thank members of this body and the Minnesota Senate for passing these family-friendly provisions last year in a bipartisan manner through the Omnibus Prime Bill. As an organization that works with families experiencing homelessness and as a child care provider, we support this bill as a practical two-generation approach that would help create greater stability for families experiencing homelessness. In 2018, People Serving People sheltered nearly 1,000 families, nearly 2,600 people. The average child in our shelter is age 6, and the average stay in shelter with us is 46 days. In addition to shelter and meals, People Serving People also provide supportive services for families and 2 4-star parent aware programs, rated programs, one on site at the shelter and one in the community through our Center of Excellence. We do this so parents can work, further education, and build pathways to stability while children learn. And we know that the lack of accessible childcare is a persistent issue for our families. So increasing access to childcare through these family-friendly provisions, in particular the expedited application processing, coupled with the 90-day verification and waiver of activity requirement, can help make the experience of homelessness brief and hopefully non-recurring. So it's often difficult for families experiencing homelessness to secure housing, employment, and childcare all at the same time. So families come to us in chaos, and they're looking for just a bit of stability. All their worldly possessions when they come to us fit within the equivalent of six large suitcases. Sometimes families have or find work or jobs, but they don't have childcare readily accessible, which means that they forego that employment opportunity, an opportunity to get on that path to stability. A 5-day expedited application would allow families to get to work or school sooner, a child into a structured and nurturing environment to establish a routine in their days during a time when so much is in flux. Ultimately, the faster families gain access to CCAP and childcare while experiencing homelessness, the faster they can get on their path to stability. Our family and employment advocates help parents apply for CCAP. But given the length of time of the application processing, many families transition out of shelter without childcare assistance in hand. That is mostly why, as a provider, we ourselves don't utilize CCAP at the shelter. The long processing time renders CCAP administratively not feasible, given the circumstances of the families that we work with. While the average stay is 46 days, some families arrive and depart within that window without all of the tools for stability. So coupling that 5-day expedited application with the 90-day verification window and activity waiver makes the most sense for families experiencing homelessness. Our families may not have the verification paperwork readily accessible and may need additional supports while looking for employment. During that time, having childcare allows kids to be in a structured environment, but it also allows parents to get to work and get those documents and their work plans together. So around the portability pool, families experiencing homelessness and families with low incomes are often highly mobile and go to where they have jobs and or family support. Eliminating the portability pool waiting list allows families to keep their CCAP if they move to a county with a waiting list. This shifts the burden of compliance onto the system rather than maintaining it on the family. And reducing the MFIP requirement from 3 months to 1 month for transition year families applying for CCAP provides for a graduated phase out of assistance for families whose incomes has increased at the time of redetermination but still remains below the federal threshold. So overall, increasing access through these non-controversial, low-cost technical policy changes required or recommended through federal conformity is a really great step toward making the experience of family homelessness brief and non-recurring. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. Maybe before we move on with questions, otherwise, since we do have a quorum, we'll have Representative Pryor. Do you wish to move your author's amendment?
Yes, I'd like to offer my amendment.
Looks like it's the A1.
Yes.
Okay, to put the bill in the form that you wish. Are there any discussion about the A1 amendment, members?
I can say, Mr. Chair, on the A1 amendment, it was another look at the legislation that we had, and to realize that to enact this, we did, some of the dates needed to be changed, because there will be system changes, and it's just to make sure that there is enough time to make sure that it's done right.
And I guess to clarify, Representative Pryor, because otherwise the language in House File 1238 is the language as passed last spring.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So any discussion about the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of adoption, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So, Representative Pryor, the House File 1238 is in the form that you wish it with the A1 amendment. That passes. And any questions for Ms. Ray? I'm going to ask a couple, but Ms. Ray, can you put this in a little bit broader context than of you referenced federal conformity? As I understand, this is part of what's required. Can you just give members a sense and give me a sense as to kind of describe this federal conformity issue when it comes to CCAP and the need for that to happen?
Mr. Chair, members, of course, I will try my best and certainly recognize that House Research may have more information than I do. My understanding is that in 2014, through the federal CCBDG Act, that there were some requirements around CCAP that were passed at the federal level. Minnesota has adopted some of them, like an annual redetermination period. And there are these provisions mentioned here, most of which are part of the federal conformity requirements, and one of which is a recommendation, have not been passed here. We are one of, I think, three states that have not passed these pieces of federal conformity.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Ray, and then Representative Pryor and a few of other testifiers at all? We may end up being done early if you don't, or if no questions, which I don't think anybody's going to complain about. Okay. Okay, well, it sounds like there are no questions regarding House File 1238. So then with that, I will lay House File 1238 over for possible inclusion in a HHS. Oh, pardon me, Representative Heintzman. Oh.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I thought that we were talking about the testifier questions for the testifier. I didn't know that we were moving the bill forward without any questions. I have a couple of them.
No, please. We're laying it over, but no, Representative Heintzman, please. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, please.
So I'm noticing just a few things, and Representative Pryor, you may discuss this minutes before I walked in the door, and if I ask a question that you covered, I apologize. But right here in line 1.9, at the very start of the bill, we're changing the definition, at least in context of this issue, of homelessness. And I'm just wondering why is that necessary? And then also, Representative Pryor, if you could explain, you may have mentioned this too, but is there a fiscal note been requested?
Why don't I just address the second piece, Representative Heintzman, because I mentioned this before you came in. My thought had been, so this bill was included, this language was included in the Omnibus Prime bill. At the time, it didn't have a cost, but I think, and so my thought had been that this would simply move forward. The legislative leaders had wanted us to be moving forward, non-controversial language from the Omnibus Prime bill. Found out just pretty recently in talking with House Research that, in fact, there likely is a cost. And so a fiscal note has been requested, but I think it's not been requested by House Research. We've requested one. But the concern, the thought is that, so basically the plan is to lay this over, and yes, we should have the cost for it by the time it would be included in a bill. Okay. If that's, and maybe Mr. Berg, you want to describe just a little more about the fiscal note aspect of this, and then we'll go back to answering the first part of your question, Representative Heintzman.
All right, Mr. Chair, members, I think there was some confusion because last year there was not a cost on the spreadsheet listed for this. Last year's legislation directed the various parts of the federal conformity be paid for exclusively with the federal funding we had received. That is not the case in this bill, and so we'll have to take a different approach. There, putting this in, it would show a state cost, not a great one, but it's one of the cost items. It hasn't been requested yet. Without stealing the governor's thunder, I would suggest that the budget submission later today might include, all of this was in the governor's budget last year, so it might well be in there. If not, we will need, or either way, it will need to be repriced against the February forecast in 2 weeks, since this involves a forecast program, the MFIP transition year child care program. So there will be either a governor's recommendation, which will be repriced, or a fiscal note for it after February 28th to show the cost.
Does that address the second part of your question, Representative Heintzman?
That helps. I'm not entirely clear why we would transition away from the federal government covering the cost as opposed to the state picking it up. If there's a chance that the federal government could, I'm not understanding why we would do that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Heintzman, last year the decision the legislature made was not to put any state money into the program. I'm not sure if everybody thought that was a viable way to move forward, since we only had federal funding in that year, enough to cover it for that year, so it would have left at the end of the period, somebody would have had to kind of pick it up into the future. So I think that it is not a viable way to finance it without, I mean, the program is a state and federal partnership, an MFIP and transition year, so I think in the long run we can't do that for the long haul.
Okay, I guess that does, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And then the second half.
And presumably we'll continue, I suspect we'll continue discussing, as this moves forward, the issue of state funding going in and et cetera. So for now, that's where, as I say, and heading into this hearing, I had thought that there wasn't a cost because there wasn't one last spring, and then in talking with House Research, figured out that actually there likely is a relatively small cost, but still there is a cost, so that's why at this point it would be laid over for a division report. So, so the first half of your question, though, so Representative Pryor, or maybe you've got a phone a friend on that homelessness definition, either way.
Well, the definition of homelessness is the standard definition of homelessness that's now being used in school districts, and so it's a way of across statute standardizing what we're talking about when we say homelessness is my understanding of it.
Okay, Representative Heisman.
Okay. Could Representative Pryor maybe explain the difference between the previous definition and this definition, please?
Representative Pryor.
Mr. Chair and Representative Heisman, I don't think I can probably bring forward the exact details of it, but there might be nonpartisan research or someone else that can give you a very accurate information.
Or if there's somebody else who can help answer Representative Heisman's question. Who am I looking for?
Jeff.
Ms. Summer, we've got, yeah, come on up.
So, morning.
Good morning. So please, yeah, identify yourself for the record and
yes.
We'll get
Mr.
to your answer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am Lori Posine with the Department of Human Services, manager of the Child Care Assistance Program.
Ms. Posine.
And to answer the question, there was not a previous definition in the CCAP statute for homeless families because we did not have any policies that applied specifically to a homeless family. Okay. So that's the reason why, and we adopted the definition that the federal government uses and, as mentioned, is also used in the school system.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Posine. Representative Heintzman.
Okay, so just to be clear then, what we're saying is there wasn't previously in this part of law a definition of homelessness. Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Representative, Posine. Yes, that is accurate.
And as I gather, Representative Heintzman, are you saying, Ms. Posine, that because there wasn't a need for it, that this bill is now adding a concept relating to homelessness. Am I understanding you right about that?
Mr. Chair, correct.
Okay, Representative Heintzman.
Okay, that answers my question, Mr. Chair. I did have one follow-up, if it
of
was
course.
Okay for you, if it was all right.
Please, of course.
All right. No, I've heard you on a number of occasions talk about Omnibus Prime. Could you maybe explain to folks the difference between an Omnibus Bill and Omnibus Prime,
at least
in your mind, and then also so folks understand,
are
we going to be passing an Omnibus Bill out this coming session I might brand as Omnibus Prime?
Thank you, Representative Heisman. Thank you. Well, Representative Heisman, if you have another name for that bill, that just seems to be the name that seems to have stuck to it. So there was a bill that was that passed the House and the Senate this past spring of 2018. It passed the House, passed the Senate, vetoed by the governor. I'm not characterizing any of that in any way. That's just the steps of what happened. And folks have named that bill just for an easy reference. I've turned that. And again, if you have an alternate name for it, it's not meant to be pejorative.
I think it's an omnibus bill, Mr. Chair.
Well, except, but that particular omnibus, I hope you could say the omnibus bill of the end of session 2018 might be another way of saying it. So, so that's simply trying to reference that particular bill so folks know which one we're talking about. And the idea was that because it passed the House and passed the Senate, the thought was it did have majority support, those provisions, and these provisions come from that bill, as that's the purpose of that. So if you prefer that, we can call it the omnibus bill of the end of session 2018. It's not intended to be pejorative. It's just simply a way to refer to it. So, all right. Thank you. Anything else related to, Representative Cortese Buitoun has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Or comment.
Representative Pryor or potentially Ms. Ray, I'm just curious, you mentioned government sanctions. And so if we're out of conformity currently and we don't move on some of these changes, there's potential that we would have to pay penalties as a state, correct?
Ms. Ray or Ms. Poseen or Representative Pryor? No, who wants to take that one?
I'm going to, Representative Pryor. The answer is yes, but I think probably we can have more details on that.
Sure. Can either of the testifiers? Yeah, Ms. Ray, looks like.
Mr. Chair, members, my understanding is that Minnesota has several times applied for extensions around these conformity pieces. And as one of three states that has not conformed, there is certainly the potential financial penalties for our state if we do not come into conformity.
Okay. Representative Cortese Buitoun.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Just for that clarification, I just want to make sure that we're being fiscally responsible with our dollars. So if there is any state money that's going into this programming based on the fiscal note, that we're getting something for that money instead of just paying the federal government because we haven't conformed. Thank you.
Just to follow up on that, passing this and the other federal conformity pieces will unlock additional federal support for the program. Am I correct about that, Representative Pryor or Ms. Poseen, perhaps, or Ms. Ray?
Mr. Chair and members, not really unlock.
Okay.
I'll just say that we did get an additional $29 million last year, which essentially right now is not being used.
Okay.
It's not been designated to use it. We also got that amount in 2019. And so we are at risk of a penalty.
Okay.
Our waivers will not be extended past September 30th of 2019. We are a state with a high number of waivers that expire, and we've been informed they will not be extended and that penalties may apply as soon as October 1st.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Representative Pryor or the testifiers? Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Pryor. So one just quick follow-up on that. So we said that we have this money that's been sitting there that we have not been able to utilize or unlock, if you will, whatever term you'd like to use, until we pass this conformity. So that money is just sitting there. And you also indicated that there were some waivers that are going to expire, which could trigger some penalties if we don't take care of this. But as that money is just sitting there, not being used, I'm just curious, is that money going to remain with the state and we just need to pass this in order to utilize that those funds? Or is it sort of a you don't use it, you lose it kind of a scenario?
Ms. Poseen.
Mr. Chair, Representative, what happens is because in Minnesota, our child care assistance program is very tied to statute, and we need statute changes to authorize us to spend the money in the ways that would spend it to meet federal conformity. We have two more years to encumber the funds, and so we have a window of time to spend it. So the issue becomes if we don't have enough reasons to spend it within the next 2 years, and they're not tied to the policies that we can make payments under, then essentially, correct, there, you know, we'd have to do a lot more exploring about if any parts of that could be spent in other ways. But because we're out of conformity, the expectation is that money is used to meet the conformity requirements.
Okay, great. Representative Damuth.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Pryor, is Section 5 of the bill required for conformity?
Representative Pryor. Or if another Testifier knows.
Let's do it first.
Ms. Ray.
Mr. Chair, Representative, Section 5, the assistance for persons who are homeless, is one of the recommendations around the family-friendly provisions. In our perspective, the five-day expedited processing period doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for families without this 90-day verification window and activity waiver.
Representative Damuth.
Thank you.
Or Representative Pryor.
And Mr. Chair and Representative, thank you for the question. It's also it's also something that was in the last omnibus bill that was passed at the end of session.
I found, by the way, Representative Pryor, it was Senate File 3656. So maybe for Representative Heintzman, we can refer to it that way, and we won't.
And Mr. Chair and Representative, and so it is part of the non-controversial measures that were passed in previous session to make it easier for families, basically, and to really address this at-risk population in a more effective way. So that part's just to make the system more responsive to families.
Representative Damuth.
Thanks.
Sure. Okay. Any other questions for the testifiers? Any member of the public who wishes to testify on the bill and provide any input? And not seeing any, and then any further member discussion that anybody has. Okay, so with that, then, thank you, Representative Pryor, and thanks to Ms. Posseen and Ms. Ray. I will lay the bill over for possible inclusion in a division report to the HHS Finance Committee. We did not have a quorum before, and we do now, so we will move the minutes of our two previous meetings. One moment. And we have a. So it turns out we have a typo in one of them. So we'll deal with the other at least. The minutes of the meeting on February 12th, 2019. If I may have a motion for approval of those minutes.
So moved.
Representative Pryor moves approval of the minutes of February 12th meeting. Any additions or corrections to those minutes? Morrison, pardon me, Representative Morrison. I'm so accustomed to Representative Pryor being the one to do it. Right. Representative Morrison moves approval of the minutes of the February 12th meeting. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? That was a quiet approval, but I think it counts. So those minutes are approved. One moment. Okay. So, and then we will move approval of the other minutes with the, they say January 24th, and that was a typo. It should say February 14th, as I understand from the clerk. And so with that, technical correction to say February 14th, I may have approval of motion to approve the February 14th minutes. Okay, that was Representative Cotiza Watoon. She moves approval of the February 14th minutes. And again, they're in our packet with that correction. Any additions or corrections otherwise to those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And that second set of minutes are approved as well. Members, a reminder about the field hearing that we have with the Jobs Committee on March 1st in St. Cloud. We'll be sending out information about that. And our next meeting date is this Thursday. We'll be discussing home visiting programs and a proposal relating to that. And with that, members, we are adjourned.